This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu. The World Economic Forum is committed to improving the state of the world and is the international organization for public and private cooperation. The forum engages the foremost political, business, and other leaders of society to shape global, regional, and industry agendas. And on the January of 2017, the World Economic Forum, in collaboration with the Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and the Boston Consulting Group, published a paper on advancing cyber resilience, principles and tools for boards. And in this paper, they discuss the evolving role and the accountability of boards and CXOs, the 10 board principles to help drive cyber resilience into organizations, cyber principle toolkits to foster self-assessment, cyber risk framework to understand an organization's risk of appetite and profile. So there's a lot of things to talk about, and here with me to go through this paper is Lee Hunter, the Principal Cybersecurity Advisor for Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. Hunter, welcome to the show. Let's talk about the paper. It's extensive, like I mentioned, you know. But the first one that really struck my chord is that the evolving role and the accountabilities of boards and CXO. Why does the board need to be involved in cyber resilience? And is this not something like an IT issue, most would say?
Right. Thanks, Jeff. And it's my pleasure to be here. So to answer your question, why the board needs to be involved in the cybersecurity risk issue is because it hits your organization's bottom line and top line. You see, while businesses are actively looking at strategies to further promote growth, increase efficiency, and reduce costs, they need to protect their hard-earned revenue. The cost of a cyber breach, from regulator penalties, third-party incident response, and remediation, will blow your bottom line. Whilst the damages in reputation and loss in customer confidence, as well as employees and partners, will eventually hit your top line. So now, do you think IT is responsible for bottom line and top line growth?
Yeah, well, it's not already anymore, right? It's not just IT anymore. So when did this sort of change happen, though? Like, is it a bit too late for bots to sort of jump into this?
All right. So actually, Jeff, to answer your question, how we came about with the development of this paper, it was actually triggered by the board participants at the World Economic Forum. So since 2012, the World Economic Forum has been raising awareness of cyber resilience, and they recognize there's a lack of tools, framework, and guidelines to help executives build cyber resilience in their organization. Hence, the forum launched an initiative with Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and the Boston Consulting Group to focus on developing a board-level capabilities for strategic thinking and governance in cybersecurity and resiliency. So this paper, hence, is not a typical academic-driven forum. It is actually driven by global business leaders attending the Davos-Geneva conference at the World Economic Forum.
And who will benefit from using this paper?
From strategic decision-makers at the board of directors level, your chief executive officer, your CISO, Chief Information Security Officer, and also the CRO, Chief Risk Officer, or anyone else in the organization responsible and accountable to drive cyber resilience within the organization. Mm.
And there are 10 board principles for cyber resilience that has been identified in this paper. Then perhaps you could go through what are these 10 principles here?
Right. So, Jeff, there's actually quite a fair bit of principles to digest. So, first and foremost, I like to share what do we mean by principles in this context. Mm-hmm. So, principles are must-dos. So, among the 10 principles, I've broken it down into three major subcategories. First and foremost would be ownership. Then we talk about the processes. And last but not least, the ongoing development. So, in the ownership category, principle number one is to establish responsibility for cyber resilience in the organization. Then number two, we have demonstrating the command of the subject, mean the board level will understand and have awareness about cyber resiliency issues, risks, and the emerging threats. The third item would be to appoint an accountable officer. And number four in the ownership category is to integrate cyber resilience into your enterprise-wide risk management framework. If we move on to the second category, which are processes, we talk about the principle of determining your organization's risk appetite. Item number six would be the cyber risk assessment and reporting. principle number 7 is to develop and implement resiliency plans. So this is one of the key important items as well, because we see a lot of organizations, they develop policy and they have a lot of challenges landing and implementing it into their organization. That is one of the key issues we mentioned, develop and implement, not just develop. So the last category, Jeff, would be the ongoing development, where we have principle number 8, collaborate with the community. Collaborate with the community, reason being, the hackers, the underground black hats, they are operating like a business now. So previously, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise also released a paper on the business of hacking. And we see they are operating like an organization with underground help desk and call center. I believe in one of your previous shows where the discussion about ransomware, one of the speakers talked about that as well.
Yeah. You could get a discount if you ever, you know, get hacked in ransomware. You know, these guys, they, like you mentioned, they operate like a business and, you know, they would talk to you and they have a customer support.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So with regards to principle number 9, Jeff, we talk about the independent review, having a third-party independent assessor to assess the cyber resiliency plans, the implementation in the organization. And last but not least, the principle number 10 is to review the effectiveness for continuous improvement. So again, if I may summarize, the three main categories would be ownership, processes, and ongoing development. So this is a life cycle, continuous service improvement, not something we do one-off and move away.
I'm speaking to Hunter Lee. He's the Principal Security Advisor for Enterprise Security Service for Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. And we are going through the paper on Advancing Cyber Resilience Principles and Tools for Boards. And we will break it down even more further in just a moment. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sando, and I'm here with Lee Hunter. He's the Principal Cybersecurity Advisor for Enterprise Security Service for Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. And we're going through the paper that is published by the World Economic Forum together with a collaboration with Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and the Boston Consulting Group. It's a paper on advancing cyber resilience, the principles and tools for boards. And early on, we talked about, you know, the 10 board principles that cyber resilience have been identified in this paper. And Hunter, you sort of broke it down into three different categories there. And what's interesting for me is, you know, under the ownership part, there was the, I think it was number 3, where, you know, appoint an accountable officer. Who in this case should be the accountable officer for, you know, cyber resilience?
Right. So, Jeff, the accountable officer in this case would ideally be the CISO, Chief Information Security Officer, who has regular board access and sufficient authority to get things done. However, based on my observation, this role is not too prominent in this part of the world. And information or cybersecurity is usually part of the IT department.
Mm-hmm. Right. And which among of these principles then, you know, do you think will have like the hardest buy-in from a board?
I believe the first principle, responsibility for cyber resilience. So in this principle, Jeff, we speak about the board as a whole having to take the ultimate responsibility for oversight of cyber risk and resilience. However, it is worth noting that the board may delegate a primary oversight activity to existing committees, such as your risk committee or cybersecurity committee. So based on my personal experience, this is hard because cyber resilience is not something the board likes to understand. It is usually presented with a whole lot of technical jargons and confusing terminology, which is not business friendly. Mm. For example, you know, spear phishing, distributed denial of service, APT, cross-site scripting, golden ticket attack. Then we have the controls portion where we talk about threat intel, TI, there's user behavior analytics, WAF, web application firewall, compromise assessment, and one of the latest would be your EDR, endpoint detection and response. Even me, myself, as a cybersecurity professional, find it hard to keep up to date with all the latest terminologies, tools, techniques, and trends in this space.
Mm. Can you then briefly explain the cyber risk framework that, you know, was presented by the forum?
Right. So for based on the typical risk framework methodologies, the cyber risk framework also looks at the impact and probability. So this will be something very familiar to the board. However, the beauty of the cyber risk framework is the forum has further broken down the impact into two main areas, which is asset at risk, either your intangible asset, your tangible asset, or for greater good. So asset at risk, we will be able to categorize the crown jewels of your organization. Together with the impact and asset at risk, we have the loss of the typical confidentiality, integrity, and availability of the asset. So this is something the security professionals are very familiar with. We always talk about the CIA triangle. On the other side, there would be the probability. So how we further illustrate and elaborate the probability of the threat occurring in the organization, we break it down into vulnerabilities and threats. Vulnerabilities, in short, are weaknesses. Weaknesses either in your process, your people, or the technology in place. And with regards to threats, we use the threat actor concept. So threat actors can be disgruntled employees, customers. We have hacktivists like Anonymous. We have cyber criminals. We have corporate espionage and nation state sponsored actors, to name a few. So using the whole framework, one would be able to articulate the probability, the impact, and much better illustrate the cyber risk the organization is facing to your senior stakeholders.
It feels a lot of this framework, it's a lot about, you know, identifying every single, you know, areas or sectors in the business, whether it's at risk and, you know, what percentage of risk it is at the moment. Identify all of these laid out on, you know, on a blank paper. From there, it's a lot easier, and I guess bots will be able to understand in that area and in that way. That's, communication is key, I guess.
Yes, communication is key. And once these are identified, you will be able to help the bot prioritize where should they spend their significant security investment on. Because security is as strong as your weakest link. So there are so many components to protect. But among all those components, where should you place your biggest bet first?
Because it's very hard to do everything at one go, especially in security. So many doors to, you know, protect and to look after. It's better to identify the weak spots in that sense. So, you know, you talked about, you know, a lot of the things here, it's not really prominent in the Malaysia side of things, or, you know, in this part of the world. So from the Malaysian regulator perspective then, are there any similar guidelines or mandates that, you know, which require the board involvement in managing a cyber risk?
Yep. So actually, Jeff, around October 2016, our Security Commission of Malaysia has actually introduced a guideline on management of cyber risks, which speaks about the roles and responsibilities of both board of directors and the management. Two key points to note from this guideline are, one, cyber risk policies and procedures that should be developed and implemented by the capital market entities. And number two, the requirement to report cyber incidents to the Security Commission of Malaysia.
Now, I understand, you know, there are a lot of things in this paper because, like you mentioned, it covers, you know, not just identifying the areas that, you know, bots need to sort of know and understand, but it also, you know, has tools that bots can use inside. So it's a lot. It's a huge paper. Where can people sort of, you know, find out more information about the paper?
So, Jeff, the paper is actually publicly available on the internet already. So the easiest way to find it would be to Google World Economic Forum, WEF, Advancing Cyber Resilience. And it will be the first hit.
And so any last words for advice in, as you know, you are you know, a cybersecurity professional?
Yep. So I got three last words, actually. First and foremost would be focus on risks rather than compliance. So I give you an example, Jeff. A lot of individuals, employees or organizations that we speak to, they actually do not understand why they need to set a very complex password. So they will just say, okay, the policy requires us to do it, you know, alphanumeric, 8-character minimum with symbols, characters and whatnot. But I would like to share the why. You know, having alphanumeric password would take an attacker, either he would be launching a brute force attack, dictionary attack, or even a rainbow table, a more longer time to decrypt rather than a typical password. So if you were the employee and there was an attacker in the organization, he would choose the fastest route to go in, which is the simple password. So that's the reason we talk about risk rather than compliance. A second point to note is I would suggest you look at the whole cycle. So protect, detect, respond, and recover. Typical organizations, they look at a lot of controls which are preventive. They talk about protection. However, at HPE, Hewlett Packard Enterprise, there's this thing that we always say. It is not a matter of if you will be breached. it is a matter of when. So when you are hit, you need to be able to respond and recover your business with a minimal disruption as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, I would like to urge organizations, committees to share as much as possible and to reach out to third parties for any discussion around the cybersecurity topics, because we should not be doing this alone. The more we collaborate, the more we'll be able to work together, address risks, and also to share our war stories together. And if you have any questions regarding cybersecurity, feel free to reach out to myself, hunter.lee@hpe.com. And if I will not be able to answer all your questions, I would be able to leverage on the global security committee that we have.
All right. And also, you know, do check out the paper. There's a lot of stuff inside there. Just go online, look up for the World Economic Forum Advancing Cyber Resilience paper. I'm sure it'll be one of the top hits, as you mentioned, Hunter. I've been speaking to Hunter Lee. He's the Principal Cybersecurity Advisor for the Enterprise Security Service for Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. And we were going through the white paper on Advancing Cyber Resilience, Principles and Tools for Boards. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.